following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
If you have gout and think a few attacks a year are all you have to worry about, think again. Fact is, gout can attack silently, even between flares. You may not feel it, but gout's root cause, high uric acid, can allow crystals to continuously form and build up in your joints. Over time, this may lead to attacks in other joints, constant pain, and joint destruction. So don't wait. Get more information at goutinfo.com and talk with your doctor about ways to keep your uric acid at a lower, healthy level.
Hi, Tom Baudet, doing my very first tweet, or twerp, or whatever it's called. Okay, here goes. M6 has clean, comfy rooms, numeral 4, lowest $$ of N-E, nothing old chain, ampersand, I heart it, cause, and I'm out of characters. Oh, see why this is so popular. I'm Tom Baudet from Motel 6, and we'll leave the light on for you. Book online at motel6.com.
If you follow high school sports, you get the opportunity to be excited about this. If you don't follow high school sports, I'll shut the radio off. No, 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 that's not right. We're going to talk college sports. We're going to talk pro sports. I think we kind of do that every day.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show with Doug Duda.
Can you do the show today? I need to go take a nap. I lay stuff out for you and you just bury it. I thought my pile on my side of the desk was an embarrassment. I do things for you on this show all the time. I'm always giving for you.
And Big Daddy Tony Davis.
Get over here and sit on my lap, sweet baby.
Oh, Tierra Park wasn't her name?
No.
Oh.
No.
Does that change the way you look at things?
Get in contact by emailing the Dent Popper inbox at DougAndDaddy@ESPNSuperstation.com or give us a call on the Bruce Furniture fan line at 1-888-455-ESPN, 1-888-455-3776. Now let's head to the Midway Auto Group broadcast booth for the Doug and Daddy Show.
And good morning, everyone. It's time for another edition of the Doug and Daddy Show here on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Kind of a rare time that we're actually going to be in the studio. Tomorrow we're up at Jersey Sports Bar and Grill to get you ready for the NFL season. Next week we head out to Husker Harvest Days with our friends at T&L Irrigation on Tuesday and with Dynagrow on Wednesday. Busy time. Husker Lunch next Wednesday is at Cunningham's. And it's here.
The big boys, it's here.
Daddy's
you're right.
Favorite time of the year. Coming up on the Doug and Daddy Show, Doug Duda here with Big Daddy Tony Davis. We'll be taking a look at the NFL. Daddy will make his pick for the night. We will make our playoff selections and our Super Bowl pick, which has rarely been even close. But we'll go ahead and do that today. Also, it is fantasy football time. Football starts, fantasy football, and we'll be talking with Jeff Erickson, senior editor from RotoWire. Plus, this craziness that's going on with the Big 12. They're going to stay together. They're going to break up. Who's in? Who's not? Who's the have? Who's the have not? Chris Level, our friend from Texas Tech and RedRaidersports.com. He's going to be joining us coming up in just a little bit as well. So that's all going on, and we'll get you ready for everything else that is going on in the world of sports. But, Daddy, I want to start off with UNK announcing its Hall of Fame members and class for 2011.
Fair enough, fair enough.
Big, you're not in it.
Big names? I have no...
Yeah, there's some big names. In no particular order, we'll start with the coach. Former softball coach Dan Simmons is going to be going into the Hall of Fame. Also going into the Hall of Fame, one of the gals that when I first moved here was leading the UNK basketball team, Jessica Kudrowski, and she's going to be going in. Also Mike Ashe, a great baseball player. Jenny Mao is going to be going in. And Eric Strand, great men's basketball player for the Lopers as well. So there you go. Mao was volleyball, Strand basketball, Kudrowski basketball, Ashe baseball, and of course Dan Simmons, a longtime softball coach. The homecoming week is the week of the 23rd, so September 23rd is the ceremony. September 24th, home football game, of course, will be the introduction to the fans at the University of Nebraska at Kearney. So congratulations to those five folks going in to the Loper Hall of Fame.
Ashley, of course, went on minor league, never quite made it to the majors, but played quite a few years with the Pittsburgh Pirates organization. So congratulations to all those people as well. Doug, I guess with pro football starting today, I'm going to start with looking up, you know, the line of Houston, Indianapolis. Houston, a 9-point favorite. I don't care if Peyton Manning's playing or not. Houston, a 9-point favorite in NFL Pro Football Action. That is astounding to me. Yes, everybody's talking about Houston. This is their year. They've said that the last 5 years, I believe. But this is really, really the year.
I agree totally with where you're going with this, by the way.
I'm just looking at 9 points. Are you kidding me? Peyton Manning's streak comes to an end. 227 games. Playing quarterback in the NFL. As far as great achievements in sports, I don't know where it ranks, but it's certainly at the top for me. How one can go out and do what he did, and then whether he's good at getting hit rid of the football or not, to do that 227 times in a row, playoffs, regular season, everything, it is simply an amazing. I don't even know if there's a close second for me as far as the streak goes. But that's a side note with what's going on. Kerry Collins starts. Why are you looking at me like that?
Well, so your point is?
Well, I think that's a side note. But Houston, is this really the year? I mean, we're going to make our NFL.
I'm looking at this. Okay. You didn't finish the thought that I thought you were going with. I think this is Indianapolis's rallying call. Guys, either we're ready to play football as NFL professional athletes or we're not. Is our season, are we going to be the worst we've been in 15 years, or are we going to be as good as we've been the last 10 years? That's the come out, maybe even win this football game. It's not like Kerry Collins is the worst. I mean, he's better. And God, why did I draft Tavarius Jackson last night? I missed out on a couple of people. I don't care if there's 70 quarterbacks that have been gone. I should never have taken him. It was a weak moment. Obviously not my starter. God, I hope he never has to start a game. But anyway, if I was in your shoes making your picks tomorrow, I would be taking the Colts. And there's another reason Houston should cover.
Yeah, probably 35-3. But it probably should be over at halftime.
We'll see what happens. And you look at that division, though. Is it automatically, I mean, everybody now wants to say it's the weakest division of football, I would have to say. I mean, you got the NFC West with St. Louis. I mean, when you win a division at 7-9, you're the weakest division in football. But this division has Tennessee, not good. All you got's Chris Johnson. Indianapolis, losing Peyton Manning. Jacksonville, you get rid of one of the top quarterbacks statistic-wise, scoring-wise, in the league last year in David Garrard. You don't know where you're headed. And then you got Houston. Who's never made the playoffs, never got to that next level. So who's going to win that? At this time of the year, Mike Perino's been on the show numerous times for Mandalay Bay. Somebody always surprises the first week, and boom, they're off to the races. You pick who you want. Kansas City Chiefs, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, I think, would have to be the one you take from last year. But somebody in one of these divisions – where there's a, I mean, remember last year, and I bought into it, San Francisco was supposed to go 12-4 and make it to the NFC title game. Right down the hole, and it's not like anybody really emerged, but St. Louis got pretty good, and Seattle won a playoff game. It's the NFL. Somebody is going to do something, and that's what makes it fun. We're going to pick the wrong team to be that team that comes out of nowhere. But I'll just give you some examples, Tony. People have thought Oakland should come on like Houston. Where? I mean, people are starting to talk about Cleveland. If they're starting to talk about them, it ain't going to happen. You got Pittsburgh, Baltimore. Cleveland's not going to the playoffs. Cleveland's not winning this division. Cleveland may be a better football team. They're not going. I mean, you look, somebody somewhere has to make a move. Everybody, like the Minnesota Vikings maybe, which I don't think, but they're talking about every other team in that division. And Minnesota has at least a history. Minnesota would be a prime candidate for that. The Washington Redskins, the last week I've heard more about the Redskins than I've ever heard about. Wow, maybe, you know, wow. So, but before that, Washington would be a candidate because all of the other three teams are being talked about.
I'm going to throw one out there. I think a prime candidate for making noise, the St. Louis Rams. What's wrong with Sam Bradford this year in that division?
Don't you think St. Louis is the pretty much the pick to win that division by most of the experts?
Not after Seattle wins a playoff game last year, not after San Francisco.
The Buffalo Bills or the Miami Dolphins, who nobody think a lot of. When you've got everybody's talking Patriots and Jets, maybe, I mean, there are a handful of teams, but I will say this. And maybe it's because of the problems in the offseason and only about a month to really break this down. I've heard more teams talked about this year than I can ever remember about possibly being good. Not you know, winning it all or doing, but possibly being good or being better.
How much pub, and I know the defense and people follow with Sue and whatnot, but the Detroit Lions, for a team that, if Stafford stays healthy, yes. If all the pieces fall in place, yes. Can they be that team that steps up and not only, you know, improves on what they have been, but takes a step and makes the playoffs?
If you want to watch the football game tonight, you can hear it right here on ESPN Radio. But if you're going out to have fun and watch that first NFL game of the year, do it with your friends and all of your fantasy football buddies, maybe your high school reunion guys, your college, you're breaking out for the night, wherever you want to do it. Ladies night, they take care of you as well at Cunningham's Journal, the Loft. It is a beautiful, beautiful day in Nebraska. Great day to be out back in the courtyard, maybe enjoy some music, then head inside, and anywhere you look, televisions on Thursday Night Football with the Packers taking on the Saints. Cunningham's gets that happy hour special going at 3 o'clock, and from 3 to 6 you can have the big-ass beers for only $2.50, all the well drinks for $1.50, and a large selection of small craft and micro brews available with the guaranteed coldest draft beer in Kearney. So college students, if you've just turned 21 and you've never heard about Cunningham's, this is the place to be because they've also got a full kitchen with snacks or a full meal. Whether you want pizza, steak skewers, shrimp skewers, sliders, so many things. It's just so good. They've got everything you need. Food, coldest beer in town, entertainment, live bands, televisions everywhere to watch the U.S. Open, to watch the football game tonight, to watch anything that you want. Major League Baseball, as we're getting closer. It's on the bricks downtown. Cunningham's located on 23rd Street. Cunningham's Journal, the Loft, and the Courtyard. Stop by anytime this weekend before the weather turns. It's just way too beautiful to be inside, folks.
A lot of people focus in on the college football. We're forgetting Oklahoma State, Arizona, two pretty big names going at it on the gridiron tonight in college football. That's kind of a side note to all the action in the NFL with the start of the season.
A lot more to talk about. There's a couple of big-time volleyball matchups if you're looking at that tonight as well, plus Nebraska Creighton are on TV tonight, and 1230 KHAS. UNK, easy win last night over the College of St. Mary, as expected. They're hosting a tournament this weekend. Hastings College is hosting a tournament. They lost to Doan last night, who's ranked 11th in the country. All coming up, and we've just confirmed that Brandon Cool, Kearney High football coach, is going to join us at the bottom of the hour, 11:30, Brandon Cool. So we're going to catch up with Chris Level of RedRaidersports.com next, then Brandon Cool, then we're going to have fantasy football with Jeff Erickson of RotoWire.com, and at the end of the show, it's almost as bad as Greenberg picking them. We'll make our Super Bowl selections. We're back after this on the Doug and Daddy Show in the Midway Auto Group broadcast booth on ESPN Radio.
Subway has a deal this flat-out delicious. The new $3 flatbread breakfast combo. A 6-inch flatbread breakfast sandwich and a cup of Seattle's Best Coffee. All for just $3. Try the crisp-alicious bacon, egg, and cheese and put your spin on it with everything from juicy tomatoes to spicy jalapenos. The new Subway $3 flatbread breakfast combo.
Build your better breakfast at Subway.
Limited time only at participating restaurants. May not be combined with coupon offers or discount cards plus tax where applicable.
Not all brake pads are created equal. Upgrade all four wheels to select Napa premium brake pads at Midas and save $50 by mail-in rebate. They're formulated with premium friction materials for a longer life and quiet, clean braking. Now with a mail-in rebate for up to $50. That's the Midas touch.
Napa mail-in rebate for $25 off per axle, valid for purchases between 9/20 and 10/22. See manager for rebate form. Most vehicles at participating Midas.
Face it, it's hard to watch your second highest investment get that hell beat out of it, and you can't do anything about it. So when all hell breaks loose, call the Dent Popper, Kearney's only local paintless dent repair company since 1991. With paintless dent repair, not only does it cost less, involves no painting, and in most cases, it's done the same day, keeping the value of your car and saving you time. So when all hell breaks loose, call or stop by the Dent Popper for your free estimate, 2014 First Avenue on the Bricks in downtown Kearney.
September is grand reopening month at Builders in Kearney. The remodeling is done inside and out, and Builders has added thousands of new items. Register from the 17th through the 24th for some fabulous prizes to be given away September 24th at 4 p.m. Must be present to win. $1,000 gift card, $500 gift card, Traeger grill, tools, and more. Visit BuildersNE.com for information on free clinics, including fast fix-up tips for your home. Builders does a grand reopening best this September at Builders in Kearney.
Builders does it best.
Bo Pelini puts his guys through a lot. The blood, the sweat, the tears. And that's just the Sports Writers. Every week you can meet and hear two of the best at covering the Huskers. Sean Callahan of HuskerOnline.com or Steve Sipple, columnist for the Lincoln Journal Star.
Hi, this is Sean Callahan of HuskerOnline.com. Join me at Cunningham's Journal in Kearney Wednesday at noon. Talk about the Husker-Fresno game, brought to you by Home Federal Bank, Graham Tire, the Midway Auto Dealerships, and Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Sunny skies throughout your day today, quite pleasant as highs top out near 74 degrees. Winds mainly northeast, 5 to 10 miles an hour. And just a few passing clouds possible tonight, low at 51. I'm Phil Jensko.
Right now, 64.
Doug and Danny Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. I got a feeling. Go Andy Roddick. If he ever gets to play, go Andy Roddick. Just got that feeling. Come on.
Still on it?
Just why not? I want something to root for. And Andy Roddick is rootable.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. I think everybody, the All-American boy everybody wants to see do well. And he's, every time you get your hopes up, it's the old stomach punch.
We're back here in the Midway Auto Group broadcast booth, by the way. Chris Level's going to join us from Red Raider Sports in just a moment here on the Doug and Daddy Show. But at Midway, all you have to do to find out how great this place is, if you've not dealt with them before, is go to thinkmidway.com. They're hassle-free, folks, and you can check everything out on the lot or online and be ready to go once you roll into Midway. If you're purchasing a new car, whether it's Chrysler, Dodge, Chevrolet, Buick, Cadillac, Jeep, or Ram, it's all there for you. A pre-owned vehicle, they've got all kinds of them. Maybe you want one of their trade-ins. Maybe it's something they don't sell, and you can still bring your car in or truck in or whatever it is you're driving and have them work on it with their Mopar Quick Lube or maintenance department can take care of you. 30 minutes in and out. Don't even need an appointment, folks. Maybe you've got something a little more wrong with your vehicle. You can drop it off. They'll take you where you need to be. They'll pick you up and bring you back to the shop. They're there 7 days a week to take care of your needs. And they're 24/7 at thinkmidway.com. Their experienced sales staff, eager to share their knowledge and enthusiasm, and encourage you to check out their entire inventory online at thinkmidway.com. Prices are there, color of the vehicle, the interior. Some of them have videos. They take you in and through the car, just like if you're on the lot. See them today, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Midway, Chrysler, Dodge, Chevrolet, Buick, Cadillac, Jeep, Ram. How many great names could you possibly want, Daddy?
Well, no more than that, midway.com.
Rolling on this Thursday on the Doug and Daddy Show here on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. We talk about it every day, and now it's psychotic again with this Big 12 and who's going where and who's making what decisions. And we always love talking to Chris Level because what's going to happen to Tech, what's going to happen to some of these teams, the haves, apparently know where they're going to go, where they have their choices. The have-nots, which I believe Texas Tech probably would fit in that category, they're going to have to grab somebody's coattail and move on.
Well, I don't know they fit in that category because football does drive this thing. They've been awfully successful the last 15 years under Mike Leach especially. Chris Level joins us from RedRaidersports.com. He's a sideline guy now. I didn't know you did sidelines, Chris, but you're all over the place.
I try to be, man, and I tell you what, if you guys could give me some closure on this this mess down here, I'm not sure if you're talking about me. I'm in Lubbock, Texas, and I'm not sure if that's SEC country, if that's Big 12 country, if it's Pac-12 country. I have no idea where I'm at right now.
Well, is Texas Tech a have or a have not, Christopher?
Well, I think that if things end quickly, if there's a resolution, and what I mean by that is if somehow, you know, A&M is allowed to go to the SEC, which could be just simply Baylor backing off. You know, I don't know what all is going to, you know, be involved with that. But if that is allowed to happen and happen fairly quickly, and I say, you know, the next day or week or so, I think Texas Tech's going to be in good shape. I think they're going to go west. There's a lot of people that would disagree with me on that, but I just know that the people in the chancellor's office and the president's office up here, while they don't have any sort of guarantee or agreement or anything, I think that they feel pretty good about going to the Pac-12. But if this thing continues to drag on and drag on and drag on, that's when uncertainty enters the equation. And you're right, Texas Tech is kind of on the fringe of being a have and a have not. They're the one of the unique. I mean, you'd love to be Oklahoma State right now. They don't have any worry in the world. They're going to be in good shape no matter what happens. But if you're, you know, if you're Kansas and Tech are kind of the two schools they're kind of bordering on. Are you a have or a have not? Those are the only two schools that really fit that category, because otherwise it's pretty much and Oklahoma State can only be in the have category because they're certainly joined at the hip with Oklahoma.
Chris Level of Red Raider Sports joins us from Lubbock, Texas right now on the Doug and Daddy Show. Chris, I think Scott Van Pelt said it very well yesterday when he said in the off season it was something to talk about. It's football season now. Nobody wants to talk about this stuff. It's basically a gun being put to everyone's head to face this issue right now. It is a weird, weird time to deal with this.
And it's not ideal. You're right. It's kind of ruining the beginning of football season. I mean, now, having said that, I don't know what the situation would be right now if you didn't have Baylor, Oklahoma, A&M, Tech, and Kansas State all off this week. Because if those five teams had a game this weekend, I think that I don't know if it would have sped up or if it would have been a lot slower. But at some point, you know, we're going to have to hit a spot where they just say, you know what, we're tabling this stuff until, you know, next summer or in December or something. But because this has been moving at the rate of a runaway train at this point. I mean, the things that President Bourne at Oklahoma and that Bob Stoops, the head coach at Oklahoma, said over the weekend and on to early this week, I mean, they were just both dropping bombs on everybody. And that's kind of what I think freaked everybody out. And we knew that the A&M situation had been being worked on for the last 6 weeks. And finally it reached the point where it was right there ready to happen, and then Baylor throws their hands up. But you're right, it's unfortunate because it's taken away from things on the field. And again, you know, the Big 12's got five teams ranked, maybe six teams ranked, whatever. I mean, everybody's looking forward to the beginning of the season, and it's all taken away from them right now. Lots of uncertainty, and I know you guys are glad not to be having to deal with it.
Well, yeah, I guess that's the bright side, is Nebraska got out while the getting was good. And so many people last year, national pundits, Big 12 pundits, were saying, you know what, this league is not going to last. In the next 5 years, it'll blow up. I didn't think it would be this quickly. You're in Texas. Is it strictly the Longhorn Network that screwed this up, or why didn't this just take place last year and get it over with?
I think what happened, guys, is that, yeah, the Longhorn Network is to blame, but what happened is it's not the launch of the network or anything like that. It's the fact that after, you know, everybody had a set of parameters, and everybody could create their own network if they wanted to, and you were told, here's what you can show on it and here's what you can't. When things started, when deals started being cut to show a second conference game on the Longhorn Network, or excuse me, a second football game, which was going to be a conference game, and then they started talking about showing high school games, that's when I think A&M said, okay, we're done. We're very uncomfortable with the relationship that ESPN has with Texas, and the rules are now changing, and it's not going to get any better. So, you know, I think that the athletic director and the president at A&M were reluctant to jump, but I think that the Board of Regents said, you know, we're done. We're tired of this. We're getting pressure, and we're not comfortable with this situation anymore, so we are directing you to get this team and these athletic programs out of this conference as soon as you possibly can.
What are the Tech folks? Are they just kind of whatever? I mean, the president,
no,
the people that pull the trains?
They're frustrated. I mean, everybody's tired of the uncertainty, just because you simply don't know, you know, where you're at. You're upset because you're not playing A&M anymore. I mean, that's what. Let's be honest. I mean, and you guys are going to go through some of this. I know the Big Ten is a nice stable situation, but fans like familiarity, and you like, you know, beating rivals and rivals beating you. I mean, that's what makes all this so much fun. Now, you know, granted, Nebraska in time is going to build up some of that with some of these new teams they're going to be playing on a yearly basis. But I mean, the fact that Texas may not play Oklahoma or A&M in a given season is just is bizarre. I mean, it's a shame that that's what this has come to, and that that's what, you know, Stoops is just flat out throwing it out there. Look, we don't have to play those guys. I mean, that's a 100-year rivalry. That's what makes those two institutions what they are. And granted, Oklahoma doesn't play Nebraska anymore, and that's, you know, that probably took a while for folks to get over. But I mean, that's what we all do this for, and it's just a shame that that's kind of where the Tech fan is coming from. It's kind of sad, and then there's a lot of uncertainty because you simply just don't know where you're going to end up, and not playing folks like A&M and who knows who else every year is just kind of, I think, frustrating everybody.
Chris, from a Nebraska point of view, the Nebraska fans want to know from the Tech people, from Kansas State, from Iowa State, from Oklahoma State, if they had to do it over again, would every vote win 11-1? Would everybody have always sided with Texas instead of Nebraska?
As far as keeping the league together? Or
no,
what were you at?
I mean from the start, as far as having the offices in Dallas, as far as the championship game, Tom Osborne was the one dissenting vote. Just things on that line. It just seemed like Nebraska's always the one in the 11-1 votes.
Yeah, I think some people would look at things differently. There's no doubt. But I think at the time when they did it, I think that everybody felt like that was the right thing. But, yeah, you look back on it. I mean, and there's a lot of shots being fired at Dan Beebe, okay, and some of it well-deserved. But the one thing he's guilty of is being a commissioner and agreeing to be the commissioner in a conference with unequal revenue sharing. I mean, and that's a system that was already in place before he took the job. And that's the biggest issue. That's the big elephant in the room, and to be honest with you, that's what Oklahoma wants. I think Texas would be okay with equal revenue sharing right now, but Oklahoma, they're the ones that are pushing and want the unequal revenue sharing. But that's the biggest issue, I think, right now. And then you've got now it's so backwards as far as people having their own networks and getting $20 million extra a year. I mean, it's just so lopsided that but some of these schools, to be honest with you guys, they don't have any choice. I mean, what choice does Iowa State have? What choice does Baylor have in the matter? I mean, Tech may or may not have a choice, but I mean, they're in a much better situation than Iowa State and Baylor are at this point. But there's a lot of nervous people in Lubbock and a lot of these cities around the Big 12 right now about what their future holds. I mean, the pay cut that some of these schools may take, you could go from $17 to $20 million that you thought you were going to get to two. If you end up in a Conference USA or Mountain West or whatever it is. I mean, think about that. And that's a lot of money for facilities, paying coaches, and all these things.
Chris Level, Red Raider Sports. Chris, we appreciate – no, wait a minute. It's football season. Texas Tech. What do you think so far? You got to see them one time.
Yeah, that was two different halves, wasn't it, Chris?
Yes, it was. It certainly was. Yeah, they were calling it the Scrap Iron Bowl down here because it was Francione versus Tuberville. Obviously, it was not Auburn, Alabama, but it was Texas Tech and Texas State. I mean, they're going to be okay. Next year's the year. Now, granted, who knows what their schedule is going to look like with all this conference stuff, but next year was the year that I think they were pointing toward. I think they can win 7 or 8 games this year. They got a junior quarterback. They got a bunch they're starting one freshman on defense. I mean, so, you know, a lot of youth. It's going to lead to a lot of, I think, frustrating moments and exciting moments for fans because you're going to see inconsistency. But I think that they will just simply build toward next season because this year they have to go to Austin and to Norman and Columbia, Missouri, and that's tough. But next year those three teams are in Lubbock. So if things go the way we think they're going to go, you're not going to have to go to College Station next year because A&M won't be there for you to play. But next year's kind of the year I think everybody's pointing toward. But I think they'll win 7 or 8 games this year, no question.
Chris, we appreciate the time that you give us always here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Thanks so much. Enjoy the day and enjoy the cooler weather. It's not 110 down there anymore.
I know. It's like 85. I'm enjoying it. But I appreciate it. You boys do good work, and glad to be on with you.
Thanks, Chris. Chris Level, RedRaidersports.com. Yeah, they were ahead 10-9 Saturday over Texas State. There was some bad Big 12 football on Saturday. We've got our football triple header set for you coming up this week. College football, Mississippi State taking on Auburn, Alabama, Penn State, and Notre Dame, Michigan is our college football triple header coming your way this Saturday. And then another triple header coming your way on Sunday, which ends with the Jets taking on the Cowboys. Would you rather hear, I'll ask you right here on the air, Pittsburgh, Baltimore, or the Bears and Atlanta?
Pittsburgh, Baltimore. Easy.
Yeah, you love those 10-3 games, huh?
No, I just like people. I just love gladiators killing one another. That's what Pittsburgh and Baltimore, they don't like each other.
But Atlanta, Chicago, two playoff teams from last year, you don't, it's just not even close.
Not even close.
With Bears fans in the listening area.
No, not even close.
All right, folks, Pittsburgh-Baltimore it is. Daddy has made the selection. Pittsburgh-Baltimore will start off our NFL triple header. And then, unfortunately, I wish those teams were playing, you know, back-to-back. Those games were like, because yeah. now, hold on, I got to grab my sheet here.
You're telling me the 3 o'clocks are bad?
Here's our 3 o'clock selections. Seattle-San Francisco, Minnesota-San Diego, Giants-Redskins.
I guess Giants-Redskins.
Yeah, see, I was thinking Minnesota-San Diego, but it is 9-11, Giants-Redskins. See, Minnesota-San Diego, that could be one of those quirky games where you see an upset. Everybody loves San Diego. So Daddy has made the selections, folks. There's your NFL Sunday. Pittsburgh, Baltimore, Giants, Redskins, Dallas, Jets, and then Monday Night Football doubleheader, New England, Miami, Oakland, Denver. Brandon Cool, head coach of Kearney High, next on the Doug and Daddy Show.
And it's 2009 AL MVP Joe Mauer stepping up to the shower. He turns on the water, wets down his hair, and reaches for the Head and Shoulders. Mauer knows Head and Shoulders is for more than just dandruff. It does 7 great things for his scalp and hair. And here comes the squeeze. He's washing. That hair's going to look out of this world.
Joe Mauer.
Yes.
Enough with the sportscaster impressions.
Oh, sorry. I mean,
sorry. Just thinking out loud.
Head and Shoulders, 7 benefits, 1 bottle. Official shampoo of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The Home Depot has lowered prices on products all over the store, and we're not done yet. Every week, you'll find new ways to stretch your home improvement dollar and get more project for your money. Ways to keep your home in better shape and turn the dollars you've got into more than you expected. Change your home improvement plans. Plan to get more done with guaranteed low prices, now even lower. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot.
About 80 years before the seeds for the trees that produce the lumber that they sell now were even planted, Mead Lumber was born in Nebraska. Like the trees, Mead Lumber locations have sprouted all over. The latest is just east of Kearney. Contractors will appreciate veteran lumberman Ron Frederick and his decades of experience in problem solving. Heading up the Mead team, Mead Lumber, on the way to the industrial park, East 39th, cleverly located beneath the big red Mead Lumber sign.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
At Farm Bureau Financial Services, our approach to insurance is simple. One policy for your home, cars, motorcycle, all your toys. One premium for simplified billing. One deductible for all covered possessions damaged in a single occurrence. All handled by local Farm Bureau agents Matt Myers and Rich Peters. See how simple insurance can be. Call Matt Myers and Rich Peters in Kearney at 234-4922. That's 308-234-4922 today. Farm Bureau Members' Choice Policy issued by Farm Bureau Property and Casualty Insurance Company and Western Agricultural Insurance Company. Securities and services offered through Equitrust Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliate Farm Bureau Financial Services.
Sunny skies throughout your day today. Quite pleasant as highs top out near 74 degrees. Winds mainly northeast, 5 to 10 miles an hour. And just a few passing clouds possible tonight, low at 51. I'm Phil Jensko.
Right now, 64.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Coming up, Fantasy Football Talk with Jeff Erickson of RotoWire.com. And then Daddy and I make our NFL selections for the upcoming season. So stay with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show, where all of our guests are taken care of by our friends at BK. Two locations in Kearney, also Lexington, North Platte, and Cozad. Two original chicken sandwiches, only $4 right now at BK. Well, big game coming up Friday night, and we'll hear it live on Classic Hits 98.9 FM. It's Grand Island and Kearney, and we are pleased to welcome back to the Doug and Daddy Show the head football coach of the Bearcats, Brandon Cool. And, Coach, good morning. Glad to have you back on the show.
Good morning. It's great to be back on it.
Beautiful day. Looks like we're going to have some beautiful weather for football like we have pretty much. We've just been fortunate so far, and we're looking forward to another great matchup between Kearney and
we have
Island.
Been. Kearney hasn't necessarily
well,
been.
Well, yeah, the rain. Yeah, we didn't have to go east last week. But getting ready for Grand Island, and let's just start there. There's a little something extra when it's Kearney-Grand Island.
Yeah, that's a nice advantage for this week of practice. There's not much motivation that the coaching staff has to deal with from the standpoint of getting guys prepared to play a big game like this. Our kids really enjoy to play Grand Island, and I know the Grand Island kids really enjoy playing Kearney, so it should be a great night for high school football.
Coach, one thing everybody's talking about, the speed of Grand Island. Obviously, keeping them in the middle of the field where you've got some help is going to be a primary concern and something you've got to do.
Yeah, you're exactly right. As you turn on the film to watch them the first 2 weeks, they have foot speed in all positions, secondary-wise, receiver-wise, running back-wise, linebacker-wise. And so anytime you have that type of foot speed, you can do a lot of different things on the offensive, defensive side of the ball. So from our standpoint, we're going to have to get lined up properly. We're going to have to keep those guys funneled to where the help is going to be at. And then on offense, we're going to have to find some seams up inside in the running game and see if we can't hit a big pass play here or there to kind of keep them back on their heels.
Kearney Bearcat coach Brandon Cool joins us. Riker Fife getting all kinds of publicity here at the beginning of the season, and he's had a couple of great games. The competition last week I don't think was much, but it doesn't matter if you're playing Class A football and you can pick apart a team like they did with Brian. Riker is really off to a good start. You've had some athletes that are like Riker Fife. Now it's your turn to try and go defend a kid like him. How are you going to do that?
Well, I think the key part is I think Riker does a great job of commanding their offense. He's a run-pass threat, and anytime you got that dual threat in that position, that makes put a lot of pressure on our defense. And so from our standpoint, defensively, they have obviously other weapons to go with them, but we're going to have to make sure that we can funnel him in the pocket sometimes and keep him and then funnel him outside the pocket. We're going to try to make him move as much as we can and see if we can't get a little pressure on him. So he's got to make a decision right away with the football.
Brandon, you guys
read option on the offense with the running back, or whether it's roll out or passing stuff with the quarterback, we're going to have to get to him and make him make a decision in a hurry.
Defensively, you guys have been very, very solid this year, shutting people down. By the way, Coach Archer paid us to say that, but you have to be pleasantly surprised right now where your defense is at.
Well, we talked about that. We've talked about that for 10, 11 months now, that if we don't get better on the defensive side of the ball, it might be a long season for us. We have six, seven, eight guys that played a lot of football for us on the defensive side of the ball a year ago, and those guys are one year more mature than they were a year ago. And so I just think I'd just like the aspect that our kids played with, especially last week. I thought they had their ears pinned back. They were aggressive. They were physical. And then we did a lot better job of tackling it. So for us to win the football game against Grand Island, we're going to have to be still aggressive, play calling, or be aggressive at attacking the quarterback. But we're going to have to do a great job of open field tackling with those speed guys out in space.
Kearney Bearcat football coach Brandon Cool joins us here. Just throwing out a few names. Trey Anderson is doing very well. Jackson Gannon, here's a kid that gets him behind the line of scrimmage. And then we knew about Derek Schreiner, but those three guys have kind of led the way for you on the defense.
Well, you start out with our defensive front with Jackson Gannon and Grady Kowalski and Tony Jenegas and Zach Yoakum. Those guys kind of take care of business there in the front three, and we rotate those guys in so they're fresh. We expect those guys, as much game experience as they've had a year ago, we expect them to dominate some offensive lines. And then when Derek went down week three last year, that was a big, big loss for us, and so he's making some headway, doing a lot of good things for us. And then Trey Anderson's got a full year of experience on the weak defensive end. Trey's going to have a big night for us because he's going to have a lot of things come his direction, and so he's going to have to tackle extremely well or defend extremely well.
Brandon, somebody for you that's getting a lot of publicity is doing it with his leg. Spencer Lindsay, one of the best in the state.
Spencer Lindsay's the best kicker in the state. He's had an opportunity to kick a few field goals, so we got the rust knocked off of him. from that perspective. Kickoff-wise, he's kicking those babies to the end zone, and he's going to have to continue to do that in order for us to be successful. But the biggest thing about Spencer, he plays a lot for us on defense, a lot for us on offense. He punts, he kicks, so he doesn't get much breathing time. And so in order for us to be successful, he's got to be playing the game of football.
Well, as long as he doesn't have to drive the bus this week, you're at home. So.
Yeah, finally finally returning home. It's the only home game of the month here for the in the first four non-district games for Kearney High. And we're talking with Brandon Cool for another minute. Offensively, I look at the stats. It looks like what I would normally see after one game, but you guys have played two games. You're not explosive so far on the offensive side of the football, but your thoughts on where you're at right now?
Well, it's kind of twofold. There's a couple situations that went along with that. We just didn't get very nice weather to really try to open it up last week against Lincoln East. And there's no doubt about it. When we got up by two scores, we were very conservative in that second half and just tried to work the daylights out of our run game. But when we compete against Grand Island, obviously we're going to have to open it up because they're so well coached defensively. So offensively, we've been a little bit inconsistent. We've been inconsistent in the passing game. And just trying to get receivers in the correct spot and get the quarterback to complete some passes there, and we'll be just fine. But we're going to gradually get better and better as the year goes on. And the biggest thing is we got to continue to find our identity. And so hopefully that'll happen here in the next two or three weeks before we get into district play.
Well, and we'll talk with Jeff Tomlin about this, but it seems like the few times at Grand Island, and I think Brandon, the feeling out there is Grand Island would be the favorite in this football game this time around this year. But even when they've been, you guys always find a way to win the football game. You just have never allowed Grand Island to get out of the gates, to get off to a good start. This first quarter is going to be huge.
Yeah, start the football game. We've talked about that, and we're going to talk about it again today. Getting off to a quick start is going to be a big advantage for us. And if they do go up 14-0, you just got to be able to weather the storm. So we talk about adversity from getting down 14-0. We talk about getting up 14-0 on teams and trying to finish the game out. And so, I think the first quarter is going to kind of set the tone of how the game's going to go. And so in order for us to be successful, we're going to have to get out of the gate in a hurry.
Brandon, big game. You've got a young junior quarterback, doesn't have a lot of starting experience. Any concern there?
None whatsoever. Luke does a great job of commanding our offense, and I think the key part is I think he's excited for the game on Friday night.
Well, Coach, we'll wish you the best of luck. We're looking forward to another great Grand Island Kearney battle, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks for your coverage.
You bet. Brandon Cool, head football coach of the Kearney High Bearcats, as you'll be able to hear that game on Classic Hits 98.9 tomorrow night, and we'll have all that action for you. Pre-game at 6:30, and kickoff is set for 7 o'clock at beautiful Foster Field. By the way, there is a Loper lunch going on, so if you're getting ready to go out, have some lunch, don't forget the Loper lunch just about ready to get underway. Coaches will speak at 12 noon.
This should be a great football game Friday night. Everybody's talking about Grand Island, this being their year. They've waited for this group of kids, and all the speed, Bombsberger, Fultz, Fife, those are three names that are becoming known throughout the state for people that follow prep high school sports. You know what? Maybe you're kicking them back. You're going to go check out that Grand Island Kearney High game and say, you know what, after that, I'm going to watch the Huskers this weekend. I'm going to watch all the NFL action, but I need to be comfortable. Bruce Furniture has got the recliners for you. No after-the-sale add-ins or add-ons. No fine print. The price of a piece of furniture is that price. You can check out any of the Bruce Furniture stores. Receive free interior home design service. No purchase necessary. Stop in and see them. They'll have what looks right just for you at Bruce Furniture, Kearney, Holdridge, Hastings, and Alliance.
Thursdays on the Doug and Daddy Show always mean fantasy football time, and Jeff Erickson, the senior editor of RotoWire.com, joins us here to get ready for the season, which begins tonight. Jeff, are you as excited as everybody else?
Oh, totally. Yeah, I am so excited for the game. I'm excited that this preseason, this draft talk is done. I mean, now we can actually talk about what's going on the field. From a business standpoint, too, it's a huge. This is always the run up is always huge for us in the fantasy business. The drafts, getting ready for the drafts. Now we can actually get to the point of ranking the players every week, talking about what they've done. It's so much more fun.
Let's start off at the top here with your prediction for the Super Bowl, because I think sometimes folks that draft and play their players always kind of, if they have a prediction for the Super Bowl, it might lean on who they play and who they draft. You got a pick for the final game of the year?
You know what? I'm pretty boring with this respect because, it's so much can happen. I'm usually so incredibly wrong. That, with that caveat in mind, I'm going to go ahead and say that we're going to go with the Eagles. I'm not fully buying into the whole super team thing, but I do think they're probably the best team in the NFC. And we'll go with the Patriots. We'll go Eagles Patriots. We'll say Patriots win.
Fair enough. I think a lot of people on that bandwagon. Jeff, tonight's game, Lance Moore didn't practice Monday. He seems pretty iffy tonight. Now they say he's out. You got the kicker situation down there. In a kicking world in fantasy football, is it worth picking up Hartley to start the season, or are you just going to wait on all that and take Casey now?
You take Casey, you take anybody else. You just wait on it. You don't waste a reserve spot on a kicker that you're hoping it comes back in 6 weeks. Pick them up then if it's that important to you. Because it's in almost every league, you know, those reserve spots are important. You know, those are the guys that, you know, get you through bye weeks. Because remember, bye weeks will have started before Hartley comes back. And you're going to need those spots. So don't waste it on carrying another kicker.
Well, let's go to the emails. Jack and Holdridge has a question concerning tonight. Ryan Grant or James Starks?
They came out earlier this week and they said that they're going to split the carries roughly equally. It's funny because Grant has gotten more of the carries in the preseason, but all the reports in camp say that Starks is the guy that's looking better. So I think I would go Starks. I just gamble on the guy that's got a better chance of being fully healthy right now.
I've got in the multiple leagues, I've got Starks on one team, and in a different league, I've got Grant. I think I'm just going to bench them both tonight and see what happens.
At all. In fact, you know, the Packers are so pass dependent. I mean, they've had running backs with good games, big games, and you can't ignore any team. But at the same time, I think it's going to be a mess for a while. I wouldn't even be surprised if Alex Green, the rookie out of Hawaii, is a factor somewhere down the line too.
You zip it now. Now you just zip it. Don't be confusing the equation, Jeff.
The running back by committee, Jeff's been popular with a lot of teams. It's seeming to become more and more complicates the matters. What two or three teams does it complicate matters for the most, I guess?
San Diego Chargers has got to be a number one because it's such a strong running game to begin with, a good offense. The Ryan Matthews, Mike Tolbert situation was a curse last year. You want to raise the bile of my listeners on the satellite radio show, just mention Ryan Matthews' name because we were on him last year. We were a lot of people. I personally paid for it with my own fantasy blood. I had him in the early second round in a lot of leagues last year, and it crushed me too. So that's the first one. I think Carolina would be the next. D'Angelo Williams versus Jonathan Stewart. Again, you got a rookie quarterback in this situation. They're going to try to run the ball more. The goal, you know, we'll see with a new coaching staff how they break down that platoon, but that's certainly going to be another one that you're going to watch out for. Finally, you know, just make sure that LaDainian Tomlinson doesn't go in and vulture some of the fantasy love from Sean Green this year. That'd be the third one I'm watching pretty closely.
Let's stay here on the emails. Rick and Lincoln, and I guess it's a running back thought right now. Is it Derek Ward or Ben Tate in Houston?
Right now, Derek Ward is ahead of Tate on the depth chart and getting more reps in practice. On Wednesday, Arian Foster did not practice. He did do individual drills. This one's going to come down to the wire, guys. Friday, and this is going to be a continuing theme. Watch the Friday injury reports. That's going to be your biggest tell in terms of what's going to happen during the week. If they don't practice on Friday, usually they don't play. It's not a hard, fast rule. If they're listed as doubtful, almost certainly they won't play. Not a single player of the 100-plus guys that were listed as doubtful last year played in the game. So that's a good sign to look out for. But in this case, I go Tate first. I go Ward over Tate in terms of getting the number of touches. I think Tate's the guy with the upside, though. That's the tricky part about this equation.
Jeff, Joe in Hastings wants to know, Kenny Britt is my third receiver. He missed a lot of the preseason with a hamstring. How much should I rely on him?
You know, I like the matchup against Jacksonville quite a bit. The only thing you have to worry about is that Jacksonville's offense will be so adrift that Tennessee will get up early and run the ball a lot. But he was on the field for 10 snaps in the preseason finale. The Titans plan on turning him loose in week one was the quote from Mike Munchak. I'm probably going to buy into that. I think that the talent is so strong, and he's his third receiver. I take the chance.
Speaking with Jeff Erickson, senior editor of RotoWire, as we do every Thursday at this time on the Doug and Daddy Show here on ESPN Radio. Go to rotowire.com. They give you all the information. So many folks with so many articles that you can learn so much. And I'm sure even guys on the staff butt heads every once in a while. But I'm looking at some of the things to look for that's up on the website here in week one. Obviously, if Jeff doesn't know this yet, both of us are Cowboy fans. Not a great matchup for them on the season opener on the road against the Jets. They're supposed to be able to be a high-octane offense. Do you hang your hat on the offense or the Jets' defense? What are you looking at Sunday from this game?
Well, the fact that Miles Austin is dealing with a sore hammy doesn't help. The fact that the whole fiasco with Andre Girard, that I hated how that one unfolded for Felix Jones' sake. I'm downgrading my Cowboys this week. It's a one-week downgrade, though. The thing is, if they don't produce this week, don't get despondent. I mean, especially if they went out and they got the cornerback situation. And they wanted to make sure that they had shut down corners. So, last year they shut down Andre Johnson. They shut down Ocho Cinco, which maybe is looking less of an accomplishment than it used to be. But still, they've shut down most of the top wideouts that went against them. So don't be surprised if Austin doesn't do a whole lot or Dez Bryant or Jason Witten doesn't do a whole lot. Actually, I expect Witten to get a lot of targets this week. I think that they're going to have to turn to him a lot more. I think you're going to see week after week teams throw their tight ends more, throw to the middle more often.
Jeff, you get those top six quarterbacks. Tony Romo's the sixth one I'm throwing in there. Which one of that next, is it Matt Ryan? Is it Eli? Is it Bradford? Is it Castle?
One of the guys on RotoWire says Eli could be the leading passer in the NFL, which I choked on a little bit.
Well, and here's the reason why. It's not just his talent. It's also the fact that the Giants secondary, I think you're like next in line to be signed to be this, the cornerback for them if the next injury happens. It's tough that they lost the Nebraska alum, first day of practice for a couple of months. Terrell Thomas is out for the year. They have like six different defensive starters hurt right now. So thing is, they're going to play a lot of shootouts early on in this season until they kind of get their feet under them again and get all the new personnel in the right place. So that's the reason for the Eli Manning upside, is because he's going to have to throw more. I'd say Matt Schaub is the other guy on that list. Thing is, they do run in the red zone, but I do think that this Houston offense is going to click on a lot of cylinders. Maybe Ben Roethlisberger also in that class.
We're rolling along quickly here with Jeff Erickson from rotowire.com. So I want to ask you about all these draft charts we see, like Ingram is ahead of Thomas, supposedly, in New Orleans. You've got Daniel Thomas ahead of Reggie Bush in Miami. You've got Kendall Hunter that's backing up Frank Gore in San Francisco, and you may have a couple more for me. How much can we really expect out of these rookie running backs? I mean, if they're listed as a starter, you kind of got to play these guys in some of these leagues.
Yeah, the only thing the only one I heard is Reggie Bush is starting ahead of Daniel Thomas. Ingram, I think you do start, but it's a bad matchup for him this week at Green Bay tonight. The thing is, he will get goal line carries. I'm convinced about that. Chris Ivory's on the pup list, so that's not a threat. So basically, you're looking at Pierre Thomas more as like a PPR option. I like Pierre Thomas. I still think he's a heck of a player, but Sean Payton has messed with his playing time in the past, so that's just something to watch out for there.
Obviously, everybody would love to have three number one receivers across the league. It doesn't happen. A good number two guy that could be a sleeper, I think, is in Buffalo and Donald Jones. Your overall thoughts on him backing up or being the number two to Stevie Johnson?
Somebody's got to be the number two, right? I think there's some upside there, especially because Ryan Fitzpatrick showed that he could be a pretty decent fantasy option. They made Stevie Johnson out of nothing last year, so why can't they do it again, I guess, is the philosophy. The fact that they traded away Lee Evans, they felt comfortable with their alternatives. So that's one area where that's one situation you can watch. Watch the Redskins to see if a reliable number two emerges there. Watch Jacksonville to see if someone like Jason Hill or Cecil Shorts emerges there. But keep in mind, just because someone has to be the number two doesn't mean they're necessarily fantasy viable. Well, look at the Chiefs last year. I mean, the motley crew of guys they tried out the number two wide receiver spot last year, and they improved that with Stevie Breston this year, and they drafted Jonathan Baldwin, of course, too, to kind of address that shortcoming. But not every team is going to have two fantasy viable wide receivers.
Touchdown only league, Jeff. Your quarterback, your number one overall quarterback this week is who?
I'm going Rodgers. I think you can make a case for Rivers. You can make a case for Rodgers. But those are my top two guys in the rankings this week. I want to just go with the best guys at home if I can. I understand the matchup against New Orleans isn't great. It's not terrible either, though. So those are my top two guys.
All right, we'll let you out of here with this. Now, I was reading Chris Liss's column up on rotowire.com and some of his predictions for 2011. He thinks that the Colts are going to be a huge bust, and Reggie Wayne will suffer on that. He loves Maurice Jones-Drew. He doesn't like the Cowboys. He doesn't think Vincent Jackson's going to be good this year. He loves Earl Bennett in Chicago. He also made the pick on Eli Manning. He loves Lee Evans. Give me a couple of your maybe off-the-wall predictions, Jeff, that not everybody else is on. Well, what's a couple of things that you think will or will not happen in the NFL that directly is going to help our listeners with fantasy football?
Ryan Matthews redeems himself after being a curse word last year. I think he's definitely redeems himself. I'm a self-loathing Bengals fan, so I'll say that the Bengals are in for a world of hurt this year. Yeah. Cedric Benson will not be the starter by Week 9. I think that Bernard Scott or anybody else, will take over in that situation. I think that the Cleveland Browns are much better than people expect. They're in a tough division to show it, but I do think that a guy like Colt McCoy is going to be someone that's going to be a better fantasy player than people realize. I'll go over to the NFC real quick, too. I think that you're going to see the nightmare running back by committee thing in Washington again. I think your guy, Roy Helu Jr., will be the back by the end of the year, though.
Well, that gives Nebraska fans something certainly to watch for.
That also means the skins will suck, and we love that part of it, too. So, good. I like that.
Jeff, thanks so much for the time today on the Doug and Daddy Show right here on ESPN Radio. We'll do it again next week with all the people's questions out there. We appreciate your time.
No problem. Happy football, guys.
Thanks, man. Can't wait for tonight to get it going right here on ESPN Radio. Every Thursday, Jeff Erickson of RotoWire.com joins us here in the Midway Auto Broadcast booth.
You did the Bart Scott. Can't wait. Unintentional.
Back to you, Tom Jackson. Thanks, Keyshawn, for having our back. And we're back after this with our Super Bowl picks.
Thursday night, we get back to football when the Green Bay Packers and the New Orleans Saints kick off the 2011 season. Hi, everybody. This is Boomer Esiason of Westwood One. Join Kevin Harlan and me at historic Lambeau Field for all the action. It's a matchup of the last two Super Bowl champions as Drew Brees and the high-powered Saints offense travel to Titletown to take on Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers. If it's opening night, it's right here.
On Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Hi folks, John Shambi here, and I've got big news for allergy sufferers. The number one prescribed antihistamine, Allegra, is now available without a prescription. The same exact allergy medicine, same full prescription strength, right on the shelf. Among OTC brands, only Allegra delivers fast, non-drowsy, 24-hour relief for your toughest allergy symptoms. Allegra starts working at hour one to relieve sneezing, runny, itchy, watery eyes, and itchy nose or throat, all without drowsiness. In fact, Allegra doesn't have any warnings about important everyday activities while taking it, like being careful while driving or operating machinery. Full prescription strength relief without any of that fuzzy, groggy feeling you may get from other medicines. And Allegra works all day long. Choose one a day or two a day tablets. For added relief from congestion and sinus pressure, choose new Allegra D. Big news, full prescription strength now without a prescription over the counter. Get it all with Allegra. Now on the shelf at your local retailer. Use as directed.
Friday night means exciting high school football action, and we've got it for you right here and on the World Wide Web at PlatteRiverPreps.com. On ESPN 1460, Kearney Catholic will host North Platte St. Pat's. On ESPN 1550, Hastings High takes on Holdridge. On 1230 KHAS, Adams Central travels to Aurora. And on the FM dial, Kearney High hosts Grand Island on Classic Hits 98.9, while St. Cecilia hosts Blue Hill on the Breeze 94.5. It's high school football action coming your way live Friday night.
Sunny skies throughout your day today. Quite pleasant as highs top out near 74 degrees. Winds mainly northeast, 5 to 10 miles an hour. And just a few passing clouds possible tonight, low of 51. I'm Phil Jensko.
Right now, 64.
Show Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Tomorrow we have the voice of Fresno State on the show, Daddy.
Yeah, Paul Leffler is set to join us. So looking forward to that, getting a take. I know people are looking at stuff. They allowed 8 plays of 20 yards or more, I believe, against Cal. So big play potential on that defense.
Yeah, the more I'm looking into this, Tony, that 28-point spread, if Nebraska's offense can do something, Fresno State couldn't do anything last week. Young, mistakes. They're young on the offensive line, so that means Nebraska's defense should just crush these guys and hold them down to nothing. I mean, it could be 40-7 again.
Yeah, David Carr's little brother's a starting quarterback. Derek Carr, only a sophomore. Offensive line looks to be very young.
And only 140 yards against a Cal defense that's nowhere near what Nebraska has.
Not nine plays over 20 yards, so big play potential. Maybe some highlight reel stuff for Taylor Martinez if he can get rolling.
That's tomorrow on the Doug and Daddy Show. We'll also have our Big Daddy's Pick'em. We'll have a recap of tonight's NFL football game, preview of the high school games. That's just part of the show tomorrow. Live from Jersey's as we get you ready for the first NFL weekend. Don't forget Jersey Sports Bar and Grill on the hill, north side of Kearney. Lunch under $6 daily, and we'll be there tomorrow from 11 to 12. So come have lunch with us at your true neighborhood sports bar where the grill and the game are always on. Bring your computers up. They've got free Wi-Fi. Enjoy a game at Keno. Check out their new menu items. And don't forget every Monday night for Monday Night Football, 45-cent wings only at Jersey's. And we'll be there live tomorrow with the Doug and Daddy Show from 11 to 12. All right. I'm going to admit right now I don't have all my picks made. I had them down, and then I scratched them out. It's time to make our NFL selections, and we will start in the AFC because I have that made. So, Daddy, let's start in the AFC West. I doubt that we have any disagreement here. San Diego always gets picked to win this, and good Lord, North Turner, get out of the way and let these guys play football. I'll take San Diego.
I will take San Diego as well.
AFC South, I so badly want to take the Indianapolis Colts because it just sets up way too weird, but by default, I'll take the Houston Texans to finally win the AFC South.
I've got the Houston Texans as well.
AFC North, Daddy, who you got?
You know, my division winner, I'm going to take the Pittsburgh Steelers. I know that's a chalk pick. It looks to be a two-team race to me. They're going to beat each other up starting on Sunday.
You know what? I thought right here on ESPN as Daddy is selected. I really like Pittsburgh all the time, all this year, getting ready to pick them, maybe to even go to the Super Bowl, and then all of a sudden you look at Pittsburgh, Green Bay again? No, ain't going to happen. Never has, never will. I like Baltimore. One last chance there for this defense, and that offense has had to mature. They've been waiting for that. I'll take the Baltimore Ravens to win the AFC North. AFC East, Daddy. Are you going to get on with the Jets, or are you going to get on with the Patriots, or are you going to throw the first curveball?
No, I'm going to get on with the Jets. I think this is finally the year they get over the hump. Sanchez a year older. I think they get over a hump, and I think New England and them will battle it down to the end, but I take the Jets.
Well, since the Jets are going to start the season 0-1, I'll take New England because they seem to be the only team that might be able to put points up on the Jets because of knowing them and the coaching and never pick against Belichick, so I'm going to take New England to win the AFC East. I've got New England, Baltimore, Houston, and San Diego. Daddy's got the Jets, Pittsburgh, Houston, and San Diego. Wild card. My first wild card will be the Jets. They're pretty good.
My first wild card will be the Patriots. I just flip-flop there. My second wild card is going to be Baltimore in that AFC North Division.
I finally found a way to at least throw somewhat of a curveball here because I was on their bandwagon last year. That proved to be right. But I'm going to take the Kansas City Chiefs as a wild card, A, because the division is weak, and maybe we should invest more in this and I should look at who else they're playing throughout the year. But we've had so much fantasy stuff that my mind is all cluttered. I'm going to leave Pittsburgh out. I almost had him in the Super Bowl. I'm going to leave him out because the team that loses the Super Bowl never does well the next year. And that's the sole reason I'm leaving Pittsburgh out. And I think I just heard Fast Willie and number two fan jump for joy that I left them out. Daddy, in the AFC Championship game, I have New England versus Baltimore.
The AFC Championship game, I've got Houston versus the New York Jets.
I believe that New England could also miss the play. You know, I think New England, are they finally too old? They're either going to go 12-4, 13-3.
Feast or famine.
Or they're finally going to trip up on themselves. But, boy, they always find a way to do it. So, New England and Baltimore in the AFC. Let's go to the NFC. We'll start in the West. I like the St. Louis Rams. I'll take St. Louis. But Kevin Kolb, can he resurrect Arizona? Was Seattle a fluke? Was San Francisco a year away? I think it's a wide-open division, but I'll take St. Louis.
I think it's a wide-open division. I will take the Arizona Cardinals. I think they got one last chance to save this deal. They think it's a special deal, the group of players they've got. I'll take the Arizona Cardinals.
NFC South, who you got?
I've got Atlanta to win the division.
I took New Orleans, and I'll tell you why. Atlanta, I think, has lost a couple of key cogs, and Tony Gonzalez is not getting any younger. And they took a whooping last year in the playoffs. How will that affect him? I'll take New Orleans. NFC North, Green Bay.
Simple.
NFC East, who you got?
Philadelphia's the most talented team, the dream team. If you want Vince Young, you're not there yet, but certainly look to have a lot of talent on that team.
Yeah, Philadelphia, they might start slow, but if you want to compare them to the Miami Heat, the Heat finished strong and made it to the championships. I'll take Philadelphia. So I've got Philadelphia, Green Bay, New Orleans, and St. Louis. Daddy's got Philadelphia, Green Bay, Atlanta, and Arizona. Let's go to the wild cards. Daddy, who you got?
My two wild cards are the New Orleans Saints and the St. Louis Rams.
You think two teams out of the NFC West where nobody could manage a 500 record will be in a wild card?
I think they get it rolling. I think both those teams get it rolling.
I'll do it. I'll take Atlanta, although I can see them missing the playoffs. There's no doubt about it. I'll take Atlanta. I'm not going to take Tampa Bay. I'll take Atlanta as a wild card. And, Daddy, I truly believe that this team should be good enough to make the playoffs, although this year I'm not going to pick them to win the division, and that's the Dallas Cowboys. I mean, they've got to be better than Detroit. They've got to be better than Tampa Bay. They've got to be better than Arizona. They've got to be better than the Giants. At least I'm hoping they are. So my wild cards are Dallas and Atlanta. Who do you have in the NFC Championship game?
I think the NFL...
easy pick is Philly Green Bay. Is that the way you're going?
It's not the way I'm going. It's interesting because I love the NFL and how it always comes down to a storyline here or there. I think you'd have a great storyline, NFC title game, Atlanta Falcons versus the Philadelphia Eagles with Arthur Blank getting the last laugh.
Green Bay is just too good. I'm putting them in the championship game. I had wrote down Atlanta, New Orleans, then I got to thinking, and so then I scratched that out. I've wrote down Green Bay. Michael Vick has never been able to get it done when he's been in the spotlight. He always has a great year when nobody pays attention to him. I don't think Philadelphia is going to be in the championship game. I don't think Dallas is going to be in the championship game. And I don't think anybody is good enough in the NFC West to be in the championship game. So who's that leave? That leaves Dallas or New Orleans. I'm not doing that to Dallas. How about a rematch of tonight? Green Bay and New Orleans meet again in the NFC Championship game. Here we go, Daddy. Who's in the Super Bowl and who wins it?
I've got the Atlanta Falcons facing Rex Ryan and the New York Jets with the Atlanta Falcons and Arthur Blank coming out on top.
I would love that, by the way. That would be great. I'd love to see Atlanta get in. So Green Bay, New Orleans, that's who I have in the NFC Championship, which means there's no way in hell that's going to happen because they've been in the Super Bowl the last 2 years. So who do you take, Green Bay or New Orleans? I'll take New Orleans to be in the Super Bowl against either New England or Baltimore. I will take Baltimore to be in the Super Bowl, and I'm going to go one more time with the Baltimore Colts to win the Super Bowl in 2012.
Like the Baltimore Colts.
Two teams, Daddy, we'll get out of here with this because somehow we're overtime again. Sleepers, Denver and Minnesota, I think, could be better than what people think. I'm not saying they're going to the playoffs, but, I mean, you look at some of these things, nobody's talking about Minnesota. And Denver, I mean, they've got to get a defense. But I think they've got an offense that's at least good enough in that division to win some games.
Merrick's
Buffalo could be good. I don't know.
He's jumping up and down his Miami Dolphin gear back there. My sleepers, I think the Dallas Cowboys may be off the radar. Yeah, everybody expects Dallas to be one of those fringe playoff teams. I think they got a chance to put things together with the new coaching staff. Remember, the defensive coordinator is now Rex's brother, another Ryan. And I think the Oakland Raiders will surprise some people.
Jason Campbell's their quarterback. They're not going to surprise anybody.
I think they'll be better than the 3 or 4 wins people give them. That's all. You wanted a sleeper? I'm giving you a sleeper. I like the Oakland Raiders.
Folks, thanks for joining us on the Doug and Daddy Show today. Join us live tomorrow from Jerseys as we talk more NFL football and a little Huskers as well. We'll talk to the voice of Fresno State tomorrow. We want to thank Chris Lovell of Red Raider Sports for joining us today from Texas Tech. Talk Big 12, Brandon Cool, Kearney High football coach, and Jeff Erickson from rotowire.com. Tonight, football begins here on ESPN. Who you got?
You know what? I guess I'll take the home team. Give me Green Bay.
With the spread? You're giving up four.
No, I'm picking the overs tonight. Bet the overs.
See you tomorrow, folks.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.